Welcome to this God-inspired message from Shofar Christian Church. Enjoy today's message. May you experience the presence of our Father, and may you grow deeper in your relationship with Him.
It's such a privilege for us to have Pastor Chris Lodewijk and Lorena here this morning to join us. I've been thinking if we want to give Pastor Chris as much time as possible, so if I take half an hour to introduce him, that's not going to be a blessing to anybody, right? But there's a lot to say, but I'm just going to briefly mention one or two things. Pastor Chris has been previously served as the Vice Moderator of the Apostolic Faith Mission and also the Secretary General of the IFCC. And but beyond that, he's been involved in ministry, what is it, over 60 years now. And he's really a father and a general in the faith in our nation. And not only in our nation, but across the globe. He's got incredible influence and the road he's walking with global church leaders. And he's been involved in the Truth and Reconciliation Commission locally at that very tense time in our nation. He had a very important role to play there. And further than that, he's also been involved in conflict resolution and similar processes in Rwanda and Haiti and even Northern Ireland and Australia. So he's involved in government level in various places. And the Lord has just worked so powerfully through a really humble man of God. And I've come to know him as somebody that's not only preaches the word but also lives it, and the fruit is so evident in his children and grandchildren. No great grandchildren, is there? Already three. Hallelujah. So the fruit is there, and it's really a blessing to see that. So I'm really trusting for an impartation this morning beyond just what he's going to minister, impartation of that amazing legacy that's evident in his life and that grace upon his life. Pastor Chris, thanks so much. It's such a blessing to have you here. We got to know each other a little bit in England when I was ministering there, and it was always such a privilege to have him around. So please just put our hands together and welcome him. And thanks so much. And we're so excited to have you at Convergence. One last thing. Very importantly, Pastor Chris has been playing a very crucial role in our own family, church family recently. He's been part of our wrestling and in walking a road with our apostolic team and our top leaders through our leadership changes. And he's also on the board that holds us accountable on the on our highest leadership level. So we're really grateful for that. It's nothing we can really say to thank you properly for that, but we're really grateful. Thank you so much.
Good morning. It's always difficult to live up to such introductions. If we said nothing, I would feel so comfortable. Thank you so much for having me. What a joy, what a pleasure, what a privilege to be here. It took a long time. I've known Shofar from the beginning, and it took me all those years to get here. So what I've sinned, I don't know. Hopefully, I'm now a Christian, and they ask me to come. But it's a joy being here, and thank you so much for being here. My master taal is Afrikaans. But, of course, I got to speak this strange language called English. Thank you so much for having me. Allow me also to introduce a lady to you that you see sitting next to me there. And I think you probably wondered, who would want to sit with a guy like that? But, you know, I was married for 54 years. And a wonderful life, and thank God for that. And then my wife decided to swap me for heaven. And, you know, I bid her farewell, and she's made a good choice. She's in heaven. So for the past almost 5 years, I've learned what aloneness is. It's not a name in the dictionary, but there's such a thing as aloneness. And so I've walked alone for almost 5 years, and my second home is in Seattle, in Washington State. Been going there and serving there for the past 33, 34 years. And during those years, my wife and I met a lady and her husband, who's also her late husband. And we were friends in the same church there. I preached there a few times a year, every year. And then when Mary left and her husband left, we became friends. And it started off by us going for walks because I love walking. I love walking. I must walk in the morning. I must walk in the evening. And she loves walking. And she stayed at a place which is the perfect walking place around the lake in Washington. And, something happened on that around that lake. And now I call her my fiancé. Would you stand, Lorena, and just... the people meet you. So we're getting married when again? On the 10th of October, which is just around the corner. And then we, after that, we're heading off to your town there, and we hope to be at Shofar there in England, and from there we go to America, and then we're going to get married again there in America. A South African wedding and then an American wedding, and I've never known about somebody who's married going to get married. But that's what's going to be. We will be married here on the 10th of October, and then we're going to America, and we're going to get married in America. So anyway, you try and work that out. But just to say to you that that you know who she is, that I haven't met her for the first time on the street here and brought her here. I would bring her to this church, of course, but yes, we're looking forward to a life together. I am, as you know, a father, a grandfather, a great-grandfather. She is because she doesn't look that age, but she is a mother, a grandmother, and soon to be great-grandmother. I'm so glad about that, and I don't feel sort of out as a great-grandfather. But thank you so much for having me. There's a clock here, and I believe I got to stick strictly to that. Now, when I came here, I came prepared to speak on a subject. I have 7 pages there, but it's not going to happen. I will speak from it or to it, but there's been a request that I sort of intertwine my speaking with just a little bit of my testimony and life itself. I have actually chosen the title from a sermon I preached years ago, which I'm not going to do today, called How's Your Asking? I'm not sure if I preached it in England, but somewhere in the world I preached it. How's your asking? So I borrowed the title again to speak on some of the issues in there, and I trust that it would be a blessing to you. And so when I say, how's your asking, I ask you also to take it seriously and just think about that. But all you're asking, because we all know what asking is, I mean, when we go to pray in the morning or wherever we pray, and we pray lovers, we love asking. the Lord has sort of got long lists of us from the asking. Much of our prayer is asking. Yes, we thank. And sometimes our prayers is short, our thanks is short, and our asking is much. So I want to speak to you a little bit about that subject of how's your asking? And just for you to sort of respond to it in your own heart and see how much you ask and what is the content of your asking. And who better to use in this particular subject than to use our dear, precious King that he became, the man himself who stood before God, Solomon, and God said to him, ask just what you want. Now, listen, I couldn't believe it when I first read that, because that's a dangerous thing to do to a human being. And I thought, I wonder if the translations fully describe what it means. And I went to different translations. I have seven of them. And I looked at them all, and it all comes out to be, ask what you want. And I thought that I'll find some high theological definition of what that text means. And it simply all goes down to that. It says to Solomon, ask what you want. And when I saw that, I thought, wow, why would God, you know, open himself up like that to ask us human beings, because Solomon was one, a human being, ask him and say, ask just what you want, and then to commit himself to it and said, and I'll give it to you. And when I read on, I saw there that it happened while he was sleeping. So I thought, okay, in that case, God has an escape clause, because it would be a dream, you know. And we can have dreams like that, but will dreams like that come true to us? But I suppose because he's God, it was not something that he was putting out there. And if you say, I want that God, that he'll say, no, it was only a dream. That's not God. He says what he means, and he means what he says. Yes, it was a lavish, bountiful gesture. Just ask, and I'll give it to you. But the amazing thing is Solomon's remarkable response. Solomon's remarkable response to what God's saying to him, ask just what you want. And he does not look at himself and his own needs only. He goes beyond what the thinking is. And I can see why God trusted him with his asking. And I should ask you and say, can God trust you with your asking or my asking? How's your asking? Because here is a man that was no angel. You know, and you've read about Solomon, he's no angel. Yes, he had a father who knew God. Yes, he loved God. Yes, he did some good things, but he did some things also that was not so good. You know, worshiping up there on the hill, on the high places, and what, and marrying a few girls from across the border, and you know, all those kind of things, you know it. He wasn't an angel. But there's one thing that the Bible says to me that stands out, that's so powerful. It says, Solomon loved the Lord. Do you know how much that means to truly love God? Somehow it doesn't cancel out wrongs that we do, but it's almost like a dad, you know, that overlooks. He's heard what you said. He's seen what you do. And I've been a dad. And I'm still a dad. And I'm still a grandfather. And I'm still a great-grandfather. And when you come to that stage, and she'll get to know it, when you come to great-grandfather, there's no child that can do anything wrong. And you'll tell your children, leave him, you know, because What he's doing is right. It's always right. He can't do wrong. No great-grandchild can do anything wrong. So God is that kind of father that with all of our weaknesses, he sees us loving him. And he overlooks some of the things that counts against us. Thank God for that. If he did not love me that much, I shudder to think where I would have been. This year I'm celebrating 65 years of ministry. Don't try and work it out. I was married when I was 7. with no easy life. I got to know Jesus, and within a month I preached my first sermon. Glad there's no tapes out about it. I had no idea. I was a decent Methodist. And Methodist people are actually nice people. But I began to preach, but there's a but, a big but. There were things that were stuck in my heart and in my life that did not please God. It did not please God. And the thing that did not please God was that I hated. May I say it? Can I say it? Shall I say it? Yes. I hated white people. Forgive me. Why? My mother was white. My father was colored. I saw them being separated. I saw them being thrown out of the house because living in the wrong area. I saw them taking us as children into a stable because there was no alternative accommodation. I saw them apologizing to us, 6 children, together with mom and dad in the horse's stable where they let the horses go out. I saw my mother cry when she got the telegram that she must kindly, her father had passed away, but she must kindly not attend the funeral of her own dad as the only girl. And when I saw all that and growing up to the age of about 14, I hated people that caused my mom and dad that pain. And I'm cutting it very short, and tonight I'll do another piece of it. But I became a Christian. I found Jesus, and I loved him. And as I said, within a month I preached, but it didn't change much from in here. What was in there got stuck in there. I was extremely polite. No people could pick up that I hate some people because I was a kind of a polite kind of guy. Years later, quite a few, we're doing these renewal conferences, those years of the renewal, big renewal conferences coming up. And I am one of the coordinators of the big renewal conferences in the stadiums and all over. And that night I looked at that one gathering that we did many years ago, many, many years ago. And I saw 6,000 people down there hugging one another at the end of the conference. The Holy Spirit coming down there, and I see people hugging one another, grabbing one another, laughing, crying before 6,000 of them. It's still in apartheid days. They yellow, red, black, and white, but they're hugging one another, loving one another. And because I'm one of the organizers of that thing, I walked right up there big, and I looked down and I saw them there. And I just said, thank you, Lord, hallelujah, what would you do without me? Not exactly, but that's the kind of action, you know. I stood up there very proud of myself for what I have accomplished with this conference. And as I smiled and looked there, I heard the word of the Lord in my spirit saying to me, what about you? I said, Lord, me? What about me? It's me, Chris. I did all this. Look at that. People are hugging one another. It's what I've done. Thank you, Lord, for giving me the opportunity. And he says, and what about you? I said, what about me, Lord? And we had a conversation there that did not please me. And after he said it almost a half a dozen times, and I had all kinds of excuses, I said, Lord, tell me then, what must I do? And he says, go to your brother and ask for forgiveness. I said, Lord, it doesn't work that way. He's the perpetrator. I'm the victim. Let him come to me, and I promise you, I'll forgive. I'm a forgiving person. I'll forgive, Lord. And he says, no, you go down there. And I've never heard the Lord like that in my life, and never after that so clearly. Eventually, I gave in. And I'm ready to walk. And just as I'm ready to walk, and I'm ready, there's a gentleman there, his white hair sticking out, and I only see from behind. And as I'm ready to walk towards him, I thought, he's an old man. He won't cause me much trouble. And as I'm walking towards him, he turned his face. And when I saw it, I stood back and I said, no, Lord, you can't be that cruel to me. Not him. And the man was Dr. J.P. Moller. He was the president of the white church. I was the head of the colored church. And we had all the fights in the boardroom. All the fights in the boardroom. And I said, Lord, please send me to somebody else. He said, no. I said, Lord, will you send him to me? I won't be nasty. And he said, you go to him. Eventually, I walked down there. I walked down there. I was not going to say so much of the testimony, but I'm going to finish this piece, not to hang in the air. And I walked down there and I touched him on the shoulder, and he turned around and I said, Doc, I've come to ask you for forgiveness. And then he said, no, it is I that must have asked for forgiveness. And we had another fight. As if we haven't fought enough in the boardrooms. And there we hugged one another. I do not know that man. That theologian, that man hugging another person. It's just not him. He doesn't hug. Creep you there, yes. And we hugged one another. And we cried on one another's shoulders, and something happened. And when that something happened, I said, Lord, this must be it. This must be it. This must be what they call love. And he said, not yet. And I said, Lord, but what more can there be to this? And suddenly I found myself in a place that I've never been up to this day. I found myself, the meeting was finished. People are enjoying one another's company. And I'm walking out. I am the director of the conference. I'm walking out by the door. The doors haven't opened yet. I'm walking outside. Don't know what I'm going to do outside. And I walk across and I stand on a little pavement in there alone. And I'm just standing there. And I'm wondering, what am I doing here? And as I'm standing there, the doors open. And when the doors open, I saw all of those people come out. And as they come out, I saw them and I looked at them. And the Holy Spirit said to me, ain't they beautiful? And I said, yes, Lord, they are beautiful. Wonderful, they're beautiful. And I heard it for a second time, ain't they beautiful? And I said, yes, Lord, ain't they beautiful? And he said, even the whites, ain't they beautiful? How do I get this out? Yes, Lord. Also the whites, I said. And I felt, now this is love. Hallelujah, I shouted. I said, Lord, this is love. And he said, not yet. Now I got scared. What more can a person do? Why are you taking me? Are you torturing me, Lord? And suddenly, as I saw the people come out walking across the place, I looked to the left and I saw a truck coming down. And immediately I recognized that that truck is running, is out of control. I looked at the truck and I saw this truck is going to run into these people. So I looked at the people, I looked at the truck a few times, and then I ran across to, not sure if I must run to the truck to stop the truck or the people, but I ran to the people, and as I ran to the people to warn them, they stood there in front of me, and I looked, and there was no truck. And I stood there almost embarrassed that I ran into these people as they look at me as if they seen a ghost. And something came over me. And the Holy Spirit said, that's love. When you prepare to give your life for your friends. I was set free. I became a new person. That day, I began to preach, to teach, and to get involved in reconciliation across the world in 140 countries, bringing people together, whether they're Northern or Southern Ireland, whether they're Aborigines, whether they're Aborigines, or whatever they are. It has been my pleasure to see God change people's lives and hearts. I've said more than I want to say. I'll continue with the peace tomorrow. I mean, tonight. I'm not coming tomorrow. God is able. Now, to come back to what I have shared with you, when Solomon answered, there was something that the Lord responded to him. The Bible says, your Bible and mine, it says that Solomon's asking pleased the Lord. That is one of the most profound biblical texts for me. That your asking pleases God. That's why I asked you, how is your asking? I know that that day when I asked to be forgiven, when I asked to be forgiven, that day when I went, my going to Doc Moller and going to ask him to forgive me, God did something. That was the beginning of it. And I'm saying to you, in your life, where you walk, where you work, where you're active, how's your asking? How much are you asking for yourself, and how much are you asking for others? I love that old song, others, Lord, others. Help me to live for others so that I might live for you. Don't know if you know it. You're too young, some of you. But it's an old one that is a beautiful one. Others, Lord. You know, the beauty thereof is that when you have the mind for others, it's amazing, without you asking for yourself, how much God blesses you. You don't even ask for yourself. And then suddenly, you have it. Because you have asked for others. I love that text, that line that said that Solomon's asking pleased the Lord. And I think that we should continue in our walk with Christ, in our lifestyle, continually ask how is my asking? Does my asking please God? I'm not saying that you must not ask anything for yourself. No. What I am saying is, don't ask more for you than you ask for others. Others, Lord, others. Even if it's family. Sometimes we spend hours in prayer and thank God for the hours we pray, spend in prayer, and it will be 2 hours and a half for ourselves. For me, my family, I and me and my, and about 5 minutes for the rest of the world. I'm not saying that we must not be in prayer for ourselves, for our families. Crucial, important. I'm so delighted that I'm going to marry a lady who is a champion in prayer. Wherever I find her in a prayer chapel. I almost wanted to feel unholy when I get to her. You know, because she's part of the prayer teams and every boy. And I feel now I'm very secure. I know somebody that's going to pray for me. Not that I must stop praying. Maybe it's all her praying that got me a lucky me. But I also pray. Prayer answers, God answers prayer. And prayer changes things. But our prayers must also include a unselfishness and a selflessness so that we also pray for others. The amazing thing is the more we pray for others, the more we find that there are others that's praying for us. Why? Because you cast your bread upon the water and it returns to you. The more you give prayer for others, the more God brings it back. I said he was no angel. Neither are we. He was no angel and neither are we. But he loved the Lord, number one. And he's asking, please God. Now, yes, you can say to me that, you know, he had a lot of shortcomings. And especially later on when he a little bit, you know, went on a sidetrack and did all kinds of things and such, you know. I mean, what do you want to do with all of those women? You know, what's it? 700? 700, that's besides the 300 concubines and all. How do you manage that? I mean, I'm even worried that maybe our president will struggle with 5. How did Solomon do it with 700? Anyway, somehow he managed. I believe that God continually awaits our asking. I believe that every time we go on our prayers, he is keen to wanting to hear us because he's a God that loves to give, to bless us and to answer prayer. We call him, he is the answer to our prayers and we believe it. And I believe that every time that I go on my knees to pray, God is already there waiting. Let me hear. Let me hear what he's saying. Let me hear what he's saying. And I don't need the classical prayers. I need to chat to the Lord. Why? Because I'm his son. And my son don't come there before me and say, may I approach you, please? My dad? No, no. They come to me with confidence. Respectfully, but confidence. And says, Dad, can I talk to you? That's our Father in heaven. That wants to hear us. Longs to hear us. Longs to hear us ask. But as we grow as Christians, he also wants to see us grow in our asking. That our asking may please God. Yes, it will be for your family that you pray first. But never leave out those who are outside of the circle. Others, Lord, others, help me to live for others so that I may live for you. Solomon's response was most significant in that it considered God's purpose for his life and asked that which is required to fulfill that purpose. That's what he said. He says, Lord, I'm only a child. And he was a youngster. He didn't grow up to be a very old man anyhow. He had a shortish life compared to the time of the others that lived those times. But the moment he had asked, the moment the question was put to him, the moment he asked, his asking was in line with his purpose. He says, Lord, you have called me to lead these people. I'm only a child. I want to lead them. Give me what I need to lead these people. That's his purpose. And we've got to ask ourselves, is our asking in line with the purpose that God has in mind for us? Or is our asking merely, well, something that comes to mind? And I want to ask this tonight, because tomorrow night I have something bigger to ask. How's your asking? I think one of the first things that Solomon teaches us, he says, Lord, I am your servant. I got to do this work. I got to lead your people. That's my purpose, Lord. Help me, help me, help me to fulfill that purpose. Does the purpose of your life and calling come anywhere in your prayer? Probably yes. I sometimes often have to remind me. I got to remind myself to make sure that my prayers are not all for me and my all the time and forgetting what's my purpose. Why am I here? So that I can fulfill God's purpose. It's almost tea time, but not lunchtime yet, so I'll have another 5 minutes or so. Maybe on another day I'll come back and get and preach my 7-page sermon. But I want to iterate and I want to emphasize the importance of us. Let me just pass these pages. I want to repeat it to you and say there are things that we got to consider in our asking. Don't leave yourself out, but don't put yourself on the front page at every opportunity, every time. Lord, here am I need this, I want this, I'd like to have this. Let us also in our asking make sure that we say to the Lord in your own way, Lord, I am here as your child in service with the purpose that you have put me here, and I want to ask in line with my purpose. Is that the bell that the church goes out? No. Okay. If we got such an opportunity from God, and he wakes you up or half awake in the morning and say, ask just what you want. Wow. Sometimes I need an invitation from God like that because I sometimes feel I need a lot of things. And I wish he would give me a dream like that so that all my things can be fulfilled quick enough. Then I can get onto God's work, you know. But it doesn't always work like that. It doesn't always work like that. Let me go further and say, can God trust you and me to put such an offer out? Can he? Imagine God coming to me, Chris, this is your Lord speaking. Ask just what you want. My head will spin. Lord, I'm in arrears at the bank. And it can go on. some of us would say, Lord, I know it's not Christian, but can you give me the 7 digits of the lottery? In our days, I wouldn't put it past some to say, Lord, please bring down this political party. I'm in church, I shouldn't speak things like that. These are things that comes up in people's minds. The demise of my enemies. I felt so guilty about a month or two ago. We live in an apartment and got some real special friendly neighbors on our left. On our left, and we greet and we talk about the beautiful weather and I don't know what else. And but on the right is a couple that the moment they see us, they escape so they don't have to greet. And they don't know what to do. I try to catch their attention and move away. They don't want to greet. I saw them one day come near the house to the entrance to the estate. And as they came there, they coming out and I'm coming in and I have the right of way. So I stopped to give them a right of way and I showed they go there. And I smiled. Now, if the Lord comes to me and say, ask just what you want, get my neighbors out of here, Lord. You see what I'm saying? You hear what I'm saying? What would we do? What's our asking like? We will have these things in mind. Well, at least I will. You may be more spiritual than me. But I want to end off by saying that we need to repeatedly ask ourselves, how is my asking? How much do I ask for myself? How much do I ask for others? How much of my asking is just everything about myself, which is important? Your family comes first in your prayers, but not at the expense of others that you won't pray for others. Our living is for our families, for our God, for our families, but it's also for others. Others, Lord, others. Help me to live for others so that I might live for you. God bless you. I love you.
Thanks for listening to this message from Shofar Christian Church. We believe that you enjoyed your time with us, establishing God's kingdom and His glory in your life. For more info, call us on 012-362-1363, email us pretoria@shofaronline.org, browse our website www.shofaronline.org, or like us on facebook.com/shofarpretoria.